Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Today's reading is going to be taken from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. It can be found on page 1154 of the Church Bible. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your fellow believers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Shirley. Wasn't that beautifully read for us? It's great. It's great. Okay, well, this morning we're concluding our sermon series in 1 Peter. I hope you've enjoyed it. I don't know whether that's the right term when you're doing a book that's mainly on suffering, but anyway. This last section in 1 Peter 5, it starts off to the elders among you. This is Peter's teaching on leadership. All those who exercise leadership in some form, it is relevant for you. And then for all those who are affected by those who exercise leadership, it is relevant for you. So I guess that would be all of us. Because we're all affected and influenced by leadership. I wonder who in your life has been particularly influential over you. When I was 25, I was an estate agent, and I was in a pretty dead-end job, actually. Most of the time, I seemed to spend stapling property particulars together. And I was desperately trying to get a better job and applying for all sorts of jobs. And eventually, I got an interview, and I was interviewed by the senior partner of a central London firm of chartered surveyors called John Pizer. I owe a debt of gratitude to him, because he saw something in me and he took a risk with a young, inexperienced man. And so it was that at the age of 25, I found myself as the manager of a small, single office firm of estate agents. I guess it was my big break, really. And over the next 5 years, I related into John Pizer as someone in leadership over me. and that has had a very significant impact on my life since. I could, of course, have cited many other people who have had a similar impact over my journey. I wonder who it is for you. Who are the significant leaders in your life? And what was special about them? There's a puzzle at the heart of the New Testament. Because when Jesus, and now Peter, want to describe leadership, they talk about shepherds. Now, this is really surprising on a couple of counts. Firstly, shepherds were not the obvious model for leadership. They were thought of as rather dim, and no doubt there were the shepherd jokes doing the rounds. Jesus told the shepherd joke himself in Luke 15. Have you heard the one about the shepherd? There was this shepherd, he had 100 sheep, and he lost one. So he went off, leaving 99, to find the one sheep. Well, you can imagine the sniggers in the group hearing this. When he found the lost sheep, what did he do? He went home and he threw a party with all his friends because he was so delighted that he'd found one sheep. By this time, I guess there was roaring laughter. And then Jesus says, and God is like that. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. This is not what they expected. It was not the model of leadership that you'd expect a shepherd. You'd have expected it to be the teachers of the law, or the priests, or the leaders of the synagogues. Shepherds were the lowest of the low. They lived with their sheep. The implication of that was that they were ceremonially unclean most of the time, effectively shut out of synagogue life. But there's another reason why this is very surprising. None of Jesus' circle were shepherds, as far as we know. Jesus was a carpenter. Most of his disciples were fishermen. There were a couple who were money men. But as far as we know, no shepherds. So why shepherds? What is special about shepherds? And why is Peter, many years after Jesus, now in his letter, drawing this teaching about shepherds out? Well, the root is in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we see shepherds used as a model for leadership. In Ezekiel 34, both good and bad. Ezekiel 34, verse 1 and 2. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? So in that instance, bad. But just 10 verses later, verse 11, for this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them. So I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. Psalm 23 takes this on a further stage. We heard that Pippa read that to her group of Muslim ladies, because Psalm 23 talks about God as a shepherd. And then, very significantly, David, the greatest king of Israel, who is held up as a model for the Messiah, is a shepherd king. As a boy, he was a shepherd, and he went on to become king. And so this theme is picked up by Jesus. In John 10, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So Jesus is appropriating to himself the messianic idea of a shepherd leader, like David. And then in Matthew 9, we read, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The idea of the shepherd leader, like David, the shepherd king, is seen as essential to the well-being of God's people. And then at the end of John's gospel, after Peter had denied Jesus three times, and then Jesus had gone on to be crucified, to die, to be buried, and then to rise again, and then when Jesus appears to his disciples on the lake shore in Galilee, Jesus pulls Peter apart in order to reinstate Peter and confers on Peter the role of a shepherd leader. John 21, verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." Third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So we come to Peter's letter and the relevance of the shepherd leader today. You see a rather old picture of me with a couple of little ones. So Peter has all this background in his mind, perhaps particularly that time on the lakeshore at Galilee where Jesus said, "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep." And he applies this teaching to leadership. So what does Peter teach on leadership, taking the shepherd as the model? Firstly, he teaches on watching and caring. Be shepherds of God's flock under your care, watching over them. Shepherds out in the fields were constantly on the lookout. They were on the lookout for several things. Now, before I just unpack that, within the church, let's ask ourselves, who does this apply to? Who are the people who are watching and caring? Well, of course, it includes me. I'm the vicar. It includes Colin and the other staff. All of the staff. It includes the missional community leaders. It includes team leaders, hospitality team. It includes ministry team. It includes host team. It includes really anyone who others look to. And so I guess that this is actually embraces the vast majority of us, that we are all called in some context to be like shepherds. So what are these shepherds on the lookout for? Well, I think there are a few things. A shepherd is on the lookout for good grazing. It's the equivalent of God's word, to nourish the people, decent grazing. And then secondly, the shepherd is on the lookout for his sheep, because sheep wander off. Now, this is tricky, because people do go wandering off. You can't always stop them. To anyone in leadership, this is a heartache. It's a heartache to me. There are many times when I see people who seem to be going on with the Lord, and then they wander off. Think of a couple who used to worship here. I don't know why they don't worship here anymore. They don't worship anywhere else, to the best of my knowledge. They just wandered off. I've been in touch with them. You know, I don't know how you can do anything. You know, they're heading off in a different direction. Perhaps the only thing you can do is just be available for them. I guess that everyone here will know somebody who's been like that. Who's kind of just, they were there. They were in the heart of the church. They were following the Lord. And then they weren't. They just wandered off. Actually, should we just stop now and pray? Just in your mind's eye, think of that person that you know. I'll think of the couple that I know. Lord, we ask for your mercy. Right now, we ask that you would touch that person that we're lifting before you. That you would move them to seek after you again. That you'd bring them back. Amen. So, the shepherd's looking for decent grazing. He's watching out for his sheep who just go wandering. He's looking out for predators. We are increasingly living in a world that is hostile to Christians. It is becoming more and more difficult to live a Christian life. The media, the culture in which we live, is challenging us. And the role of a shepherd leader is to protect the flock, and I think we do that by highlighting the dangers that in a society that actually is abandoning God. Famously, David, as a shepherd, killed both lion and bear. And here Peter refers to something a bit similar. Verse 8, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." The context is us, the flock, who the lion is wanting to devour. The leaders are the shepherds. The devil is prowling. We need to be on alert. Verse 8 says, "Be alert, be on the lookout." So the shepherd leader is watching and caring for the flock. Secondly, what are the other attributes of the shepherd? Well, it's voluntary. Being a shepherd is voluntary. It involves self-sacrifice. Verse 2, "Be shepherds of God's flock, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain." We are not forced to take this. We're not compelled into leadership. We volunteer freely. And within that, there needs to be an element of self-giving. Paul boasted that he paid his own way. He was self-supporting. All the first apostles, with the exception of John, eventually were martyred for their faith and for the leadership that they took in the early church. It was self-sacrifice. The level of self-sacrifice that we have to exercise today is not at that level, thank God. Nevertheless, the Church of England vicars are not particularly well paid, and there's virtually no increment in our salary. So I earn now about £2,000 more after 23 years' service than the most junior curate just starting out. It really wasn't worth waiting for. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because we do not want our leaders to be doing this for the money. We're volunteers. We're voluntarily doing it. It's sacrificial. And that applies for all leaders. We're doing it not for gain, for ourselves, not for selfish ambition. The next point is similar. Serving. The leader is called to serve and not lord it over. Be eager to serve, it says, not lording it over those entrusted to you. So we are called to be servant leaders. Leadership should never be done for the glory. And this will affect the manner in which we lead. We lead in humility. Verse 5, clothe yourselves of humility. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So we're not expecting plaudits. We're aware of our weaknesses as we lead. You know, my observation of what things are like out in the world is that there is a rather depressing rise in the strongman leader in world politics, isn't there? We see it happening all over the place in South Africa, in Turkey, in Russia, in other parts. The strongman leader, you know, we're just going to follow this guy, however stupid he is, because he's strong. That is the exact antithesis of the servant leader that we see taught in the Bible. It's interesting that the leaders of the early church were called elders, even though some of them were young. So some have reflected that perhaps this is about the fact that somebody in the latter years of their life are often motivated by different things. They have a different attitude and approach to life. They're no longer driven by kind of ambition and achievement. That's a sort of young man's dream, isn't it? Making a name for themselves. They're more relating into things eternal. They're more focused on their relationship with God and with others. And it seems that the early church wanted to be led by people, whatever their age, which have that priority on the things eternal. We don't want to ape the world with the strong man leader model. So our leaders should be putting out the chairs, clearing up the mess, doing the menial tasks. You know, sometimes I have people come to me and say, oh, let me do that for you. No, no, you shouldn't be doing that. No, I need to do the messy, unpleasant, lowly jobs. It's good for me. I can't believe I'm saying this. It's not that good for me. So, leadership in the church is servant leadership, not lording it over. And then finally, Peter says, being an example to the flock. This is quite a difficult one. Paul says, follow my example as I follow Christ in 1 Corinthians 11. If you do not want people to imitate you, you shouldn't be in leadership. Now, this is incredibly sobering for any of us who are in leadership. Do I want people to be like me? I mean, after all, I know what I'm like. But if I don't, then frankly, I should get out of the way. This, of course, doesn't mean that I'm so arrogant and so blind to my flaws that I'm just putting myself out there as someone perfect. No. But hopefully there is enough that the Lord has redeemed in me to make my life, at least in some aspects, worth following. I mean, even as I say that, I feel nervous. But that is the truth about the situation that a leader finds him or herself in. So to be a shepherd leader involves watching out for what's going on, watching over your flock, to be self-giving, sacrificial, to be serving, not expecting to be the top of the pile, but to be not lording it over others, but to be serving them, and to be held up as an example for others to follow. Finally, Peter is also aware that in all this, God is ultimately our leader, our shepherd. Verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. He's your shepherd, ultimately. And so, although the teaching here is about how we lead, how we exercise leadership, behind that teaching is an understanding that ultimate leadership rests with God. In fact, whenever Peter teaches on leadership, we're aware that the leadership we exercise is really only a reflection of God's perfect leadership that undergirds it. So how do we become a great leader? We become more like Jesus. That's how we become a great leader. So whether you are in leadership, which I believe all of us will be in some sphere in our lives, or whether you are receiving leadership from another and valuing it for what that is, God wants us to try and follow him, and then others will follow us. Shall we stand together? And Natalie, if you'd like to come back up with the band.